Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Good afternoon and welcome. We are live at Fry Fest. Yes, we are live on the road. The Circa Sports Iowa studio. Somehow we uprooted everything, literally everything. Tucker, our engineer, is here. He brought in like 10 boxes worth of stuff. Okay, maybe that's not what happened, but we are here. We are live at Fry Fest. And this is Spencer on Sports here at KGYM. 319-366-1600. It is a rather historic day because all of our shows, every single one of them, even Todd and Alex, they are standing around waiting for me to stop talking so they can come in here and start talking. They are going to be here. The gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will follow this program, but we are here for the next 55 minutes or so. We've got Scott Docterman from The Athletic. He is waiting in the quote-unquote green room. The chair to my left basically is our green room here at Fry Fest, but we will bring him in to talk, what else? Hawkeye football. We are here celebrating all things Hawkeyes. If you love the Hawkeyes, you absolutely have to be in this room right now. Or at some point today, because there is stuff to buy, there's clothes, there's hats, there's duffel bags, there's mugs, there's a bear with a Hawkeye shirt on it over there. There is some really awesome artwork to our left. There are canvas prints of Kinnick Stadium and all the different things you could think of Hawkeye-wise. I know they're selling the Kinnick documentary on DVD somewhere else in this area at the trade show. So lots of cool things, lots of awesome panels going on as we speak. Had some cool ones this morning here at Fry Fest, including the Iowa women's wrestling team. They had an autograph session earlier today, the Hall of Fame class, including Hawkeye football legend Dallas Clark, among others. They had an autograph session at a panel earlier today. Included, among the things happening today, a football preseason preview with the man standing in front of me right now, Gary Dolphin and Ed Podolak. They will be on the stage here in about 20 minutes or so, talking Hawkeyes on the stage. There's a trivia challenge. If you want to get an autograph from the Iowa women's basketball team, they're signing autographs today, and of course, the concert. Going on with Restless Road taking place just outside the venue here on the Iowa River Landing in Coralville. It is the 13th annual Fry Fest and, of course, celebrating 50 years of women's athletics at the University of Iowa. Great thing to celebrate for sure here this afternoon and this year as we get set for another year of Hawkeye football in and around eastern Iowa and across the state of Iowa, of course. We will get to a lot of different things involving college football. Like I mentioned, we'll talk with Scott Docterman coming up here in just a bit to preview the Hawkeyes. We have some breaking news, in fact, to talk about here this afternoon. Just reported a number of different sources have come out with the news. The College Football Playoff Board of Managers, they have unanimously approved to expand the College Football Playoff to 12 teams. The date of implementation, according to Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated, is being left for commissioners to determine, as well as details of the format. That news breaking just moments before we came on the air. Of course, we had a great discussion yesterday. A lot of folks weighing in their thoughts on the playoff, what they think the number should be. It was my thought initially that, hey, maybe we should start with 8, then go to 12, and maybe go to 16. But the College Football Playoff presidents have said, well, we're going to go to 12. When that happens, it sounds like it might be 2024 at the earliest, but we'll ask Scott about that. How about that? Coming up here in just a bit about the playoff expansion, one of the hot-button topics of this off-season cycle. But we got plenty of things to talk about here when it comes to in-season news. Of course, the Hawkeyes will be taking on South Dakota State just a little bit away from us at Kinnick Stadium tomorrow at 11 a.m. We'll get your predictions, and we'd love to hear your predictions on the Talker text line at 319-366-1600. What do you think is going to happen both tomorrow in the game? What do you think the score is going to be? And what do you think is going to happen this season for the Iowa football team? A record? Do you think it's going to be 6-6? Do you think 8-4, 9-3. Do you think 15-0 when they're raising up the trophy, where is it, Miami this year? Are you going that big and bold? We'd love to hear your thoughts at 319-366-1600, and I will share mine with you later on in the program as well. In fact, that is the subject of our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. How many games will the Hawkeyes win this fall? You can vote at KGYMRadio.com. Is it going to be 7 or fewer? 8, 9, or 10 or more? Those are your four options at KGYMRadio.com. You can vote on our website. And again, that poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. So we'll get to the Hawkeyes. We'll get to the Cyclones. Cyclone fans, would love to hear your thoughts, too. I might get thrown out of Fry Fest by making that comment here. But, hey, we're equal opportunity. We've got the game tomorrow on KGYM, tomorrow afternoon between the Cyclones and SEMO over at Jack Trice Stadium. Love to hear your thoughts about the team out west, we'll put it that way, to get your thoughts for 2022 on the Talker text line as well at 319-366-1600. Got some college football to talk about from last night. Do I dare say the name? Can I say Chuck Sizzle in this building and not be shunned? You have to feel good, no matter your thoughts about how everything went down with Charlie Jones. You have to feel good for his success. Putting on a whale of a performance last night in West Lafayette for Purdue against Penn State. Penn State ultimately came out. I got some bragging to do when Scott and Mark get here for the Emil's Hideaway pick six. Only one on the panel to call it, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what happened to the Big Ten last night. Minnesota rolled to an extent, for what it's worth, against New Mexico State. Up at Huntington Bank Stadium, New Mexico State. If there was any bad blood between Jerry Kill and P.J. Fleck up in Minneapolis last night, it was just on the field with the coaches. Between the coaches, it was not really on the field because New Mexico State really non-existent last night, watching that one a little bit before heading to bed last night, as the Gophers and New Mexico State did battle last night. But we'll get to all that and more. We are going to take our first break of the program, and we'll bring in Scott Docterman from The Athletic coming up here in just a few moments. We will talk Hawkeyes with him, but we'd love to hear your thoughts at 319-366-1600. It's Spencer on Sports live from Fry Fest on KGYM.
Association and this station.
And welcome back. Live from Fry Fest, it's Spencer Out Sports here on KGYM. 319-366-1600, Leo in Iowa City. See you on the text line. Re-breaking the news, the 12-team playoff approved. We'll ask our guest about that breaking news here in just a moment. Scott Docterman from The Athletic joining us here from the Circus Sports Iowa Studio Road Edition here on a gorgeous Friday afternoon. A little warm outside, but the weather looks pretty good for kickoff tomorrow in Kinnick Stadium. Again, 11 a.m., Hawkeyes and Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. And Scott, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. It's a nice day here. A lot of people here at Fry Fest.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of people outside enjoying the block party, the bags tournament, and people inside too. I see tons of people looking at these. Got these black and yellow overalls that are very popular. I've been watching people picking through those all day. So it's a good time to get your new Hawkeye gear. But we're gearing up for a new season, Scott, and everything gets started tomorrow. What have you heard this week leading up to the first game? What do you think Kirk Ferentz's attitude about this team is?
I think he's pretty positive, especially when you look at the defense. I think this defense could be one of the best in the country. But this is kind of a get through it game for the Hawkeyes because the injuries we know at wide receiver, that's going to be something that's going to be a challenge for them, especially right off the bat, but throughout maybe the first month. So it's going to be about establishing the line of scrimmage. It's going to be about running the football. You're playing a team that has quite a few, 22 fewer scholarships than you. So you feel like with your line of scrimmage, your depth, and on probably a warm day, that should help you out in the third and fourth quarter. So I think it's just a matter of play well, get the win, see what you need to correct, and then move forward.
10-win team last season, the West Championship. You got to Indianapolis, although, Michigan was there, 42-3 loss. unranked coming into the preseason, no matter how much stock people out there put into the preseason polls. Is this kind of right where Kirk and the Hawkeyes want to be, kind of under the radar going into the new season?
You know, I think so. I mean, this is kind of where they thrive, where they've lived, and then they've done really well, is when people don't think that they're very good, and then all of a sudden then they kind of come out of nowhere. And I think they're in kind of a weird territory because they're not even though they have so many returnees, they're not really expected to be the absolute favorite right now with the West Division. And I think there's four teams, you know, maybe even more, who are kind of considered in that category. I thought they should have been ranked. I thought they had enough returnees that they deserved at least that kind of respect. But I think you can use that for your advantage, and I'm sure they will. On defense, I'm sure they could use it and use it effectively.
We'll get to the West in just a bit and your thoughts on the Hawkeye season before we let you go. But let's talk about the offense. You mentioned those injuries to wide receiver. When the depth chart came out on Monday, we saw Nika Reganey not listed. Kirk Ferentz saying that Keegan Johnson even this week was touch and go. You add all of that news onto the questions that face this offense from last season, throughout the offseason, and into this season. On a scale of 1 to 5, how concerned should fans be about this offense, in your opinion?
If 5 is most concerned, I would probably put it about a 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year the numbers are the numbers, and they were in the 120s in most categories. I expect them to be a better team running the football than what they were last year. I think last year was somewhat of an aberration. But then I think when you look at the passing game, what has changed? There have been some concepts change. There have been some route adjustments made, but how are the pieces in place? We saw what happened last night with a former Iowa receiver, and you got these injuries, and you don't know that they're even healthy enough to make some of these changes work for them. Now, at tight end, they're in outstanding shape. I think the offensive line will come along, and I think the running backs are very good. Quarterback is a concern, and until Spencer Petras proves that he can be, above average quarterback, there's going to be doubts. And then I think at wide receiver, it's just about health. And because I do think that Arlen Bruce and Keegan Johnson are two ascending receivers, it's just a matter of can the others catch up, fill in, because I don't know that Keegan Johnson will be available.
Is there something that you need to see from Spencer Petras, not only in tomorrow's game, but Iowa State the following week, maybe even into the Nevada game, to show marked improvement that he can be the guy going forward? Because obviously we know Kirk Ferentz and the staff believe in him, and he's the set-in-stone starter for now.
Across the board, it's completion percentage, but that's going to be tougher when you have receivers who are inexperienced. And, you know, frankly, they're not scholarship guys. So I think there's really some concerns I have. You know, can he hit 62% of his passes? That's really the optimum number for this type of offense. And it's going to be very difficult when you have receivers who've not been out there, who've not made those catches, and playing against a pretty good team. I think South Dakota State, if it was in a Mountain West or a MAC, would be a perennial bowl team. So that's going to be a challenge for them now. So whereas before this week, if there were healthy receivers, I may put a different premium on, you know, completion percentage. I might now just say, can he hit the receivers to where they can make plays with the ball once they touch it? And instead of back hip, maybe it's, you know, hands and then move up the field. And that's going to – and so it's somewhat nebulous, but I think that's really what I want to see from him, is make the makeables. The pass is there, hit the receiver in stride so he can do something with the ball once it's in his hands.
Scott Docterman from The Athletic joining us live at Fry Fest here on a Friday afternoon, second day of September of 2022, 319-366-1600. Sticking with the offense a little bit longer, offensive line, there were injuries, inexperience last year. What do we know about the offensive line unit? Because that can play a big role in how this offense churns, obviously, with the running game and protecting the quarterback, whether it's Petras or Pitier or somebody else.
Yeah, that's going to be a major factor. I think it's going to be better, but until it actually happens, we just don't know. And last year they struggled on the edge. Mason Richmond is a last year redshirt freshman, this year a sophomore, and I think he's ascending. He was banged up a little bit during camp, but can he – take that step forward and be a, you know, a very, you know, a good or even a mid-level offensive tackle in the Big Ten. If he can do that, this offense should be much better and not give up 32 sacks and allow the running game to run for more than 3.4 yards per carry. Connor Colby, I think, is an ascending player. I think he'll be one of the best in the Big Ten, maybe not this year, but certainly in next year, in 2023. I like Logan Jones a lot. Physically, he really has no peer at Iowa. You know, what he's able to do in the hang clean and squat is something that nobody has been able to do at his position, and only Tristan Wirfs has done more in the hang clean. But it's about coming together, building a cohesive unit. It does remind me of some past Iowa teams, maybe in 07, 08, where they struggled and then they built and then they became better. I think they've got that kind of potential. And I think they got the potential to cut down on sacks and run the ball at a better rate. Can they be good? I don't know if good's attainable yet. It might take some time to figure that out. Maybe late October we'll have a better idea on that one.
Running the football, a big part of what Iowa wants to do on offense. Obviously, Tyler Goodson now on the practice squad for the Green Bay Packers. The Williamses coming in. We saw them in the bowl game against Kentucky. Kind of similar question to Spencer Petras, what I asked you earlier, but on a different level. What are you looking for from the two new faces in the running back room and maybe even some of the other players on the depth chart this season?
I think it's making sure you get something positive out of most carries. You know, Goodson was fantastic in space. And, you know, when, in 2020, when the outside zone was capable of, you know, of being a really powerful play for Iowa, especially when you had Alaric Jackson blocking on the left side, they were great. But, you know, last year there wasn't a lot of room, and he tried to dance a lot, and he led the country in most negative rushes and negative rushing yards. So that's something that they have to be cognizant of. I don't think these running backs are of that style. Now, maybe they won't give you the explosive plays, and that's okay. I think it's just a matter of, you know, if there's somewhat of a hole there, hit it, and if you get 3 yards, great. You're at 2nd and 7 instead of last year, a lot of times 2nd and 12. And I think – but – they have a cumulative effect. I really like LeSean Williams. I thought the way he performed at the Kids Day practice, he showed a lot of moves, and he was able to lower his shoulder. And I think he and Gavin Williams will be a pretty good tandem. And then I expect at least one of the freshmen to step in and kind of rotate. And you know, we may not see a lead cow, you know, back there until you know, maybe the Ohio State game.
I don't want to overlook the defense, Scott, but I feel like if we're not talking about them, there's really no major issues. But what are the expectations for this defense? Obviously, they carried the football team last year, especially, you know, interceptions and you know, just the way they kept Iowa in those games. You look to the Penn State game and the games that Iowa was able to come back in or hold off some of the better opponents they were playing last year. What does the defense need to do to have if not similar success, but even a better level of success than they saw last season?
I think it's probably apply a little bit more pressure on the quarterback, which they did later in the season. You know, their linebacking core may be the best in the country. I expect their depth up front to be the best that Iowa's ever been. It appears to me that way, that they may have 9 or 10 deep that they can go and feel like, you know, the eighth defensive lineman can step in and play just as well as the, you know, one of the first starters. And then I think in the secondary right now, it's a little bit, you know, they have some turnover, but I don't think that it's, you know, a super detriment right now. So I would expect them to be able, if they can get after the quarterback a little bit more and force some errant throws, I think this team could be what it was maybe in 2020, which was, you know, maybe the best defense it's had since 04 when Davion Nixon and Chauncey Golston was there. People didn't get to see it so much because of the COVID year, but it was outstanding. And I think the with guys like Lucas Van Ness, you know, 7 sacks as a redshirt freshman, the highest for any Big Ten player except for George Karloftis since 2014. Y.A. Black has a tremendous upside. Aaron Graves, as we know, is going to be out of this world. And some others. And then, of course, the starters. So I think this has got this is a unit that can dominate games and probably 2/3 of the games, in my opinion.
Before we get into tomorrow and then the season as a whole, I do want to ask you about the breaking news that I mentioned at the top of the show, the college football playoff. Board of Managers, Presidents, whatever you want to call it, unanimously voting to expand the playoff to 12 teams. Looks like the earliest this might happen is 2024. Your initial thoughts on this process that we've seen play out here?
It's an interesting process because it was ready, shoot, aim. I mean, they announced that they reached this agreement, and then they expected all these new commissioners just to go ahead and buy into it for some reason. And it turned out that a lot of them weren't ready to, and then it came right at the same time that the SEC and, that Oklahoma and Texas news leaked. So then everybody was real skeptical of one another, and that remains so. But I think that the fact that it's 12 teams was the way it was trending. It's going to be 6-6, which is the six best champions, the six at-large teams. That's going to largely be five power conferences and one group of five conference. So I think this is going to be real similar. There's still some question marks I have is, are you going to use the bowls or are you going to go outside the bowls? I think there might be some, interest in using maybe the first two rounds at home sites instead of the first round at home site because it makes perfect sense. So there are a lot of logistics to work through, but right now I think this is a good thing that they're finally getting this moving forward.
2024, 25, or 26, the possible implementation day, yeah. Excuse me, according to Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. Let's get into tomorrow's game. You mentioned it briefly at the start of our conversation, some of the things that Iowa might need to focus on tomorrow, but if you're looking for one thing that spells either victory or defeat for Iowa tomorrow against South Dakota State, what is that thing?
There are the turnovers, which are always a factor. But I would say if there's one aspect that Iowa has to ensure of, I think it's to make sure that the quarterback for South Dakota State doesn't really get loose, that he isn't able to pick up those magic yards that some of the quarterbacks we've seen over the years, like a Dan Persa, was able to do. And, it's 3rd and 5. Don't let him run for 8 yards. I think if they can keep him in the pocket and defend and then get pressure on him, I think they'll be fine. Because this is probably not going to be a high-scoring game for Iowa. I think it's going to be a churn it out, run the football, don't turn the ball over. I kind of have it like a 24-10 because this is a really good team that they're playing. Certainly not the worst team on the schedule. So if they can do that, field position is going to matter, all those little things. But largely, if they can keep the quarterback in the pocket and not let them get loose, I think that's going to be a major factor.
And as for the season as a whole, I know you did a piece on The Athletic about it, so I don't want to spoil it if you don't want to share.
Fine.
But your thoughts on how the season plays out? Is Iowa going back to Indy, bowl destination? What do you think your prognostication for this year?
Yeah, I had them kind of high, and I think it was a little bit before I knew the wide receiver situation. I still think that this team can win the West. I still think it could be a very good team and win a lot of close games if the field goal kicker comes through, if the offense gets better, and I expect it to get better because the defense is so good that it will keep them in just about every game. So I have them winning the West. I don't have them winning the league. I think Ohio State's too good, but I think they've got the potential to end up somewhere in Florida, and I have the Orange Bowl as a possibility. I don't think they go to the Citrus Bowl 2 years in a row, or the Relia Quest, formerly known as the Outback. They haven't been there for a few years, and they're missing out.
Surprisingly.
I kind of think that Miami or Tampa might be one of the two destinations. Now, if things go the other way, which is possible too, I mean, Purdue's a decent team. Minnesota's a decent team. Iowa State's a good team. I think that's going to be a very difficult matchup for Iowa. I think they can go to a Music City Bowl and have a disappointing season, but I think that if the passing game comes through, that this team will be capable of going back to Indianapolis.
Excellent. Scott, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again, I'm sure, throughout the rest of the season. Scott Docterman from The Athletic does a great job. If you do not subscribe, I know I say this all the time, I tell you about stuff in The Athletic all the time, whether it's Scott's stuff or any of the other work they do, it is fantastic, well worth your money. I hope the check's in the mail, Scott. Maybe you can work on that. But we appreciate his time here at Fry Fest. We are live with you on a Friday afternoon, just past 2:30, and you're listening to Spencer on Sports here this afternoon on KGYM. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll take another timeout, and we'll come back and talk about what happened last night in the Big Ten and around college football. Some great football games last night, including that one in West Lafayette involving, yes, my friends, Chuck Sizzle. That is forever his name. Thank you, Mr. Gus Johnson, for that. We'll talk about that and more coming up here in just a bit. It's Spencer on Sports on the Gym. 319-366-1600 as we continue on here. College football heavy show. Thanks again to Scott Docterman from The Athletic for stopping by. He took off before I could say thank you again, but appreciate Scott's time here, making time at Fry Fest to chat with us here this afternoon. We'll tell you what's in store for the rest of our local shows. Again, we are all here live. Here today from 2 until 6, Scott and Mark are standing right in front of me. They are ready to go. They've got a special guest today, and then Todd and Alex have a special guest, or maybe two, joining them on the program today between 4 and 6. But as we look at what happened to the world of college football last night, what a game. 4 hours worth of football in West Lafayette last night. And, man, Penn State coming out on top 35-31. It didn't look like they were going to pull it out, but Penn State was able to get the win 35-31 over Purdue. Sean Clifford, 20 of 37, 282 yards, 4 touchdowns through the air, 1 on the ground, and ended up throwing the touchdown, a go-ahead touchdown pass to Kevon Lee with 57 seconds left to end up winning that game. It looked like he was going to be the GOAT and not Tom Brady-level GOAT. He threw a pick six, a 72-yard pick six to Chris Jefferson from the Boilermakers. 8:29 left in the fourth quarter. Purdue went ahead, and that looked like it was going to be the end for Penn State, but Penn State ended up getting the ball back and able to drive down, score with 57 seconds left for Purdue. Hawkeye fans, brace yourself. I know there's lots of them in this building right now. Charlie Jones, what a performance from Charlie Jones last night. 12 catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown. And as I've referred to him a couple different times today, Chuck Sizzle, his new nickname, per Gus Johnson on the broadcast last night. Lots of opinions, as you can imagine, flying about Charlie and his departure from Iowa. But what's in the past is in the past, and you matter your thoughts on it. Obviously, some disappointment in him leaving, some anger in him leaving from some of the fan base too for the University of Iowa. But you have to feel good that he was able to show out and show what he can do in the black and gold. Just not the black and gold that we I guess, want him to be in the Big Ten. But had a great game last night, 12 catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown, targeted 17 times in the contest last night. Tyrone Tracy, the other former Hawkeye on Purdue, 2 catches for 17 yards. And what really it came down to in that game, Purdue, they like to throw the football under Jeff Brohm. But if they were able to run it just even a little bit more in that contest, they might have pulled out that victory. Purdue, in the end, all told, 22 rushes for 61 yards. And when you're trying to hold the lead, obviously, that is not going to get things taken care of. You're not going to be able to secure the lead if you are Purdue. But 22 rushes as a team for 61 yards. They had the ball up 3 points with 6:27 left. And Stuart Mandel from The Athletic said, over the next two series, the Boilermakers ran the ball once on 14 plays. One rushing play in the last 14 plays when they got the ball with 6:27 left. So, they're looking to pass, but when it comes time to run the ball, you hear it so many times, people kind of say it kind of in a mocking tone. Run the dang ball. You best believe you should run the football. Purdue did not do that, and they were on the losing end last night, 35-31 to Penn State. Penn State up next. They are taking on the Ohio Bobcats. Purdue will be playing the Sycamores of Indiana State, who I believe they won last night, didn't they? I'm not up on my Indiana State Sycamores football, but I know they were playing last night. So an in-state matchup there for Purdue. Big in the sense when you look at that game, Purdue's schedule And forgive me, I don't have it immediately up in front of me here, but Purdue's schedule for the rest of the season, they would have had a pretty, dare I say, easy road in the Big Ten had they won last night. Still a very favorable schedule for the Boilermakers. Still definitely one of the, maybe not contenders, but sleeper teams in the Big Ten. But Purdue, the rest of their schedule looks like this. Their toughest game before their bye week on October 29th is at Wisconsin. They will travel to the Badgers. I believe it is the Badgers' homecoming game up at Camp Randall on the 22nd of October. But Purdue's schedule the rest of the way, Indiana State at home, at Syracuse. They host Florida Atlantic. They play at Minnesota, at Maryland, and then they host Nebraska before going to Wisconsin. They play Iowa November 5th off the bye week, and then they finish at Illinois, Northwestern, and at Indiana. So a very favorable schedule. Toughest game out of that will probably be Wisconsin. Illinois will give them a test, I think. The Indiana game's a rivalry game, but Purdue, if they can hold on to leads, I think they've got something going there in West Lafayette, despite losing last night. The other game in the Big Ten was Minnesota laying waste to New Mexico State. It wasn't like a 56-0 blowout, but it was a blowout in the sense that the Aggies were non-existent last night. The Gophers outgained them 485-91. 485-91 in that game as the Gophers won 38-0. I feel weird saying this, especially at Fryfest, but it's great to see Mo Ibrahim come back after the injury he suffered against Ohio State in the opener last year. One of the best in the Big Ten when he's healthy. 21 carries, 132 yards, and a couple touchdowns. Tanner Morgan ran for a couple scores as well. Jerry Kill and P.J. Fleck, they did shake hands before the game last night. So apparently whatever hatchet there was between the two of them, at least for maybe the five-minute photo op, was buried last night. The Gophers did win 38-0 last night over New Mexico State. And there is a video going around social media. The Hawkeyes continue to live rent-free in the Gopher fans' heads. They Gopher fans seen going through Huntington Bank Stadium chanting, "Who hates Iowa? We hate Iowa," playing New Mexico State. Isn't it great to live rent-free in your rivals' heads, Hawkeye fans? 319-366-1600 as the Gophers win 38-0 last night over New Mexico State. We got a couple games tonight, a couple intriguing ones. Western Michigan, pretty good team. Of course, losing some players, including Sky Moore, to the NFL this offseason, but they will be traveling to East Lansing to take on the Michigan State Spartans. That one starts at 6, right as we are out of here tonight with our local shows. You can tune into that one. And game I'll be watching tonight, Illinois at Indiana, 7 o'clock start time on Fox Sports 1. I think Illinois is going to win that game. Illinois is a pretty darn good team, and I think they're going to pull it off as they take on the Hoosiers tonight in Bloomington. I think Indiana is going to be better. But I think Illinois will pull out the victory tonight in Bloomington and move to 2-0. We mentioned the schedule for the rest of the Big Ten for this weekend. Michigan, number 8 team in the country, hosting Colorado State tomorrow. Maryland hosting Buffalo. Also Rutgers on the road at Boston College. Nebraska, they will be taking on North Dakota tomorrow afternoon. Wisconsin opening up the season at home. Have to see how the Badgers do this year. Graham Mertz is going to be key for them this season as to how far they go. Of course, they have Braylon Allen, some solid receivers coming back. The defense is always solid in Wisconsin with Jim Leonard up there as the defensive coordinator. Wisconsin opening with Illinois State. And then the big one tomorrow night, Ohio State taking on Notre Dame from the Horseshoe in Columbus. And I think Ohio State's going to win that one pretty handily. Not sure if they're going to win by 17.5 points, as the spread was yesterday afternoon, but I think Ohio State does win rather handily in the game of the week, or one of the games of the week, coming up tomorrow night at 6:30. Did have some top 25 action last night, some really good football games last night. The Backyard Brawl was back last night, Pittsburgh and West Virginia. What a game it was. The Panthers, it was kind of a bad game to start with. The two teams going back and forth, and you know, kind of feeling each other out for a long time, but Pittsburgh ended up prevailing in the end, 38-31. Rodney Hammond Jr., a couple touchdown runs. Panthers scoring, though, on the go-ahead touchdown and a 56-yard pick six with 2 minutes and 58 seconds left in the game. They win 38-31. They ran out of beer at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. Not the best thing to do when you have Pittsburgh and West Virginia meeting for the first time in over a decade, but that's what happened last night in Pittsburgh. Wild one in the Big 12 and the non-conference. Oklahoma State, number 12th ranked Cowboys, 58-44. Sure, we're not watching college basketball here. Oklahoma State won 58-44. Spencer Sanders, 28-41, 406 yards, and threw four touchdowns in the win. His counterpart, Daniel Richardson of Central Michigan, 36-49, 424 yards, four touchdowns, and a pick for Central Michigan last night. Can you tell Jim Knowles left Oklahoma State to go to Ohio State? I think I can, because they gave up 44 points to Central Michigan last night down in Stillwater. The only other top 25 game last night was Wake Forest taking on VMI, and it was a little trouble for the Demon Deacons taking on the Keydets, 44-10, Wake Forest got the win over VMI. Highlight games this weekend, of course, Oregon and Georgia, number 3 Georgia, number 11 Oregon. It's a 2:30 start time tomorrow. Cincinnati and Arkansas tomorrow as well. Razorback Dale, I know he's picking the Hogs. Bearcats reloading, trying to rebuild after a great season last year. That's a 2:30 start time tomorrow. You've also got number 1 Alabama taking on the Aggies of Utah State, the Fighting Jordan Loves, as they take on the Crimson Tide down at Tuscaloosa. Also, Oklahoma and UTEP. Houston and UTSA should be a pretty solid contest there. Ole Miss, they've got Troy, BYU in South Florida, USC opening the Lincoln-Riley era, taking on Rice. Utah and Florida, also a pretty good game down in the swamp. And then Monday night, you've got Clemson and Georgia Tech. Sunday as well, we've got college football on the airwaves for you on Sunday. I should mention that. We've got a game between LSU and Florida State. You can check that out on our airwaves coming up on Sunday night at 6, courtesy of ESPN Radio. 319-366-1600. I want to remind you of our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. How many games will the Hawkeyes win this fall? 7 or fewer? 8, 9, or 10 or more? You can vote right now at KGYMRadio.com. Getting the results here, the early leader in the clubhouse is 9. We have 9 wins as the key votes so far on our poll question. We will get you my thoughts on the game, the season, as we head towards the season opener tomorrow. I'll get you those predictions coming up here momentarily after we take another timeout. It's Spencer on Sports live from Fry Fest here on KGYM. My prediction, how things are going to go this season. And if you want to hear more about it, I don't want to spoil Before the Boom, the podcast available at KGYMRadio.com, as you heard the promo coming in off the break. But I think this season comes down to 3, maybe 4 games for Iowa. It comes down to Ohio State, comes down to Purdue, comes down to Wisconsin, and definitely the Michigan game. My official prediction, you heard it if you listened to Before the Boom, I think this definitely has a potential to be a 9-win football team. So that was my prediction, 9-3. If a couple breaks don't go their way, though, definitely could be a little bit less. But the 3 losses I have, I'm a big prove-it guy. You have to prove to me that you can do something before I think you can do it. The 3 losses, no surprise. I have Ohio State beating the Hawkeyes this year. 2 in a row in November, Purdue and Wisconsin. Those are the 2 teams that I just feel like have Iowa's number, especially Purdue, and especially after what we saw last night from the Boilermakers in the losing effort with Chuck Sizzle and Charlie Jones over there in Purdue. I think that one's going to be a tough one in West Lafayette. I think Wisconsin, too. Even though it's a Kinnick, Wisconsin has had the Hawkeyes' number, and if they can break through and win that game, I think it's maybe even a little bit better than 9-3. But I think Ohio State, Purdue, and Wisconsin, as of right now, those are the games that they might drop this season. Michigan could go either way. I think they pull the upset there and beat the Wolverines, especially because it is at home and especially because they have what happened in Indianapolis fresh in their mind. Illinois is going to be a tough one. Minnesota is going to be a tough one. Northwestern is going to be a tough one. And, heck, even Nebraska could be a tough one, too. I think all those things could be true. But my official prediction, you can hear all of our predictions, by the way, on the Before the Boom podcast. I say 9-3. If I just give them the KOD, kiss of death, you can bring all your hate on me. But I think it has the potential. I think the defense is going to keep them in a number of games, and in fact, all the games. And if you have marked improvement for the season from the offense, I think this could be a good year. As for tomorrow, I think it's a close one. I think Iowa wins 24-14. That's my prediction for tomorrow's game as well. I got to get out of here because Scott and Mark are waiting. They've been staring at me like, come on, Spencer, be quiet. We got to get in here. I just was given the death glare by Scott Unash, so I got to get out of here. They've got Mark Ironside, Gary Dolphin joining Todd and Alex after 4:30 here on the program today. And come out and say hello if you're at Fry Fest here this afternoon in Coralville. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday to break everything down, set the stage for Cyhawk here in the gym.
The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here. End the summer strong by starting up a new season of productivity. Your business upgrade begins with up to 48% off top-rated laptops like Vostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th-gen Intel Core processors. It's time to push your